Welcome to the OKC Community Podcast. We are so glad you're here. To get the latest updates or to watch this week's message, visit our website at okccommunitychurch.com.
Hey, well, listen, I want you to stay standing. Stay standing. I know you guys are ready to sit down, but I'm going to ask you to stay standing because we're going to read God's Word. You all right with that? Okay. I like it. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, it's got to pause. How many of you guys know that God is the author of peace? Everybody say God is peace. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus. You get how crazy that sentence is? How amazing that sentence is? Everybody say Jesus is alive. The great shepherd of the sheep, meaning the Lord is our shepherd, will equip you with every good for doing his will. I stop on that intention because I wonder how many of you are like, man, I really want to know if I'm doing God's will in my life. Am I on the right path, God? Am I doing what you've called me to do? Well, right here in God's word, in Hebrews chapter 13, it says that the God of peace will equip you with every good thing to do his will. That's good news. Like, he's going to give us that capacity. So it's sort of like God's peace, P-E-A-C-E, will be the missing piece, P-I-E-C-E, to his will. Y'all with me? Did you catch that? That was just so smart, Tim. I'm glad you said that. All right. His peace. We'll end with this part of the verse. And he may work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to him to whom be the glory forever and ever. And everyone said, amen, right? This is week 4 of our series, Grace and Peace. I've titled today's message, My Peace is My Calling. My peace is my calling. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at 3 people. I want you to give them a high five before you take a seat. And I want you to look at them with all sincerity and say, my peace is my calling. And give them a high five and then take a seat. Go for it. Well, this past Monday was week 1 of our Alpha course, and there is a question that gets presented on week 1 that is a very intriguing question. It's one of the big questions of life. I'll throw the question on screen. This is one of the questions that comes up on Alpha. If you could ask God any question, what would it be? Which is like, man, that's a big-time question. Like, how am I going to narrow all of my questions down to one? Well, in the Alpha video, there's some funny questions that people throw out. There's some serious ones. I mean, one guy's like, hey, God, why can't I dunk a basketball? And I'm like, yeah, God, why can't I dunk a basketball? I deserve that. And there's another one that's like, what's with all the bugs, God? And I mean, that's a pretty good question as well. So I thought we could have a little fun, but also maybe, you know, stir it up a little bit today. I want you to talk to the person next to you real quick. I'm going to give you like 1 minute. And I want you, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? All right? So talk amongst yourselves for like 1 minute. Get some good ones. They could be strange, weird, funny, or serious. Go for it. All right, I'm just curious. If your neighbor really gave a great question, you can volunteer him right now. But I just need a couple examples. Anybody have a good question that you just want to throw out there so I can hear it real quick? Come on. Any questions? Serious, strange, weird, funny? What? Huh? Where do we go when we die? Okay, we can talk about death today. Anybody else? Anybody else? What's over here? What'd you say? Why so many innocent people suffer? Big time question. Anybody else? Why'd she bite that apple? That's a good message title. Okay. Anybody else? Well, hold on, that's sort of something about a belly button. Did Adam have a belly button? Oh, probably, I don't know, maybe not. Who knows? That's a good question, though. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's kind of hurting my brain. Let's talk about that. Let's open the word to Genesis chapter. No. Okay, so one specific question came up in different forms in the Alpha film, and then, of course, in my alpha group over the years, this is a question that just continually comes up, and I thought I'd throw it out there today. But it says, the question goes something like this, like, Lord, how am I doing in life? Am I on the right track? Am I on your path? Am I doing your will? Am I living into my calling? And I think where that question comes from is every one of us, inside of us, we're like, we want to know if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing in life. Like, and we're looking for a peace in our heart about that. I think every person desires to feel confident that they're living and doing what they're supposed to do. We could call it our calling or our destiny or God's will or his purpose and that sweet spot. And over the years, I've talked with people and it's like they maybe have difficulty in really discerning or feeling comfortable with God's will. And so it's like they're trying to find the needle of God's will in the haystack of life. It's like this epic search that they are on, right? You all know what I'm talking about. Have you ever felt this before? Yeah. Well, most of us have had a time in life where we've asked God to reveal his plan for us. It's just part of life. People who wouldn't even consider themselves religious might have a moment in life where they get to a crossroads and they cry out to God anyway. And they say, God, just tell me what to do. And there's something inside each of us that wants to know that our life is on the path that it's supposed to be on, that we are living the life that we're supposed to live. And for some of us, we might say that we're living in the center of God's will. But God's will doesn't always feel very clear to us. And this is a really hard thing in our culture because our culture essentially worships clarity. You know what I mean? Like, everybody wants clarity on things. I've heard that word so much. Like, so we pray to God, God, give me clarity. Anybody pray to prayer like that? I need to know, God. I want to understand. So we say, hey, you got any prayer requests? Just pray that God gives me some clarity on some things I'm dealing with right now. That's what we say. Give me clarity. And it's not just God they're asking clarity for. We're asking clarity for everyone. We want clarity. We want clear details, clear and concise. We want people to be, you know, upfront and honest. We need a contract so there's no questions or no second guessing. We want people to be, you know, clear with what they're going to do for us. And I get it. I mean, I want it too. But clarity can become a hindrance to your calling. Anyone ever felt like you have been compelled or convicted or called to do something, but you have no idea how it's going to go? But you feel like you got to do it anyway because you're called. Yeah, I love the story. I think I shared it a few months ago where a man, he asks Mother Teresa if Mother Teresa will pray for him. She says, well, what do you want me to pray for? And he says, well, will you pray that I gain clarity for the next steps in my life? And she says, no, which I love. She's like, no, I will not pray for clarity because clarity is the last thing you are clinging to. Instead, I will pray that you trust the Lord no matter what. I feel like this is a recurring theme in our life, in Christy and Mai's life, that we have a decision before us and the need to begin praying for something, for God to give us some sort of revealed plan to tell us what to do. And we'll, in essence, beg God for clarity. But what we're learning in life, even up to this point, after we've done this for so many years, is that it rarely does God give us clarity. But we are learning that there are other ways to gain his peace, that we gain peace to trust him no matter what. You know, Christy and I have spent some time this week talking about different seasons of our life. And, you know, when we planted this church, one of the big question marks in front of us were, what are we going to do with our kids in their school? Most parents have had this question before them. What do we do with our kids and their schooling? And, you know, we were moving into the city and it was like everybody had an opinion about what you should do with your kids and there's all these different options. And so we're like, God, just tell us what to do. Help us with this decision. And what we found, we're 12 years in and we still sometimes lack clarity about that. But what God has given us about it each year at a time is he has given us an unwavering peace that he has us right where he wants us, because there's never been a magical moment of clarity, but we've been able to walk in his peace. And I just think that's an interesting thing that makes me go, how can you have peace when you don't know what the heck you're doing? We think in life that it's clarity that will give us peace. We think it's clarity that will give us confidence, not only in our purpose, but in our calling. We think it's clarity that will provide the missing piece to God's peace. It's not clarity you need for your calling. One point in this message is that you need courage. It's courage that you need in your calling. We need the courage to stop being stopped for the lack of clarity that we feel. So many of us have the Lord's call us or pressing in on us, or we feel drawn or convicted or bidding or whatever, but because you aren't sure how it will go or if you heard God's voice right or whatever it is, you don't know what will happen, you don't step out. And because clarity doesn't exist, you choose to just sit tight instead of take flight. That was a good one too. Thought about that one for a while. Quit sitting tight, waiting on the perfect conditions. I get it. The idea of taking flight, sometimes the foggy conditions still exist. Sometimes we don't feel quite ready. Sometimes we're wondering if our time has come. Sometimes we wonder if our time has passed. What if the time is just right? And so for many of us, maybe you haven't even thought about calling in a minute. You're like, Tim, you're talking about finding your calling, and I'm winning if I find my keys in the morning. I get it. That's where some of us are. But today I'm believing that the grace and peace of God will come over our life in such a way as to reveal some things about our life. When I ask, how are you doing? I'm not asking, are you good? Are you bad? I'm asking, like, do you have an inner peace in your life? Do you have an inner peace about who you are? Not just what you do, but more importantly, who you are. You know, you've heard the phrase, right? A peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a phrase that people say in and out of the church, but it actually comes from Philippians 4. It's from the Bible. And if you think about that phrase, a peace that surpasses understanding, meaning it's a peace that is greater than clarity. It's a peace that you don't even have to have clarity to achieve it. Meaning, I can be at peace when I don't know the future, which is kind of crazy to think about the fact that I can be in the center of God's will even though I'm uncertain of the future. And if you think about that, that could hurt your brain, but it can heal your heart, because so many of us get stuck in this cycle of worry and frustration and wringing our hands over what's next in life when God has offered us peace in the here and now. So here's what I know. Some of us are struggling with the decision in this room. Some of us are worrying about a problem and asking God what to do about it. Some of us are wanting an answer and it's taking way too long to get that answer, and we're getting frustrated and we're questioning ourselves and we're questioning God. Some of us are dreaming about a new venture, a new business or a new investment, and you want God to give you clarity. Some of you are so busy that it's not just been a minute, but it's been years since you've actually considered the question, how am I doing with life? Do I have peace? What is my calling? And I know this, there is this true thing about each and every human being. Inside all of us, we want to feel God's peace. The peace of God over who we are and what we're doing with the short lives that we have. There's a story in 1 Samuel chapter 3 where a young man is being called, but it takes a few callings for him to hear that call. Anybody relate? He wasn't sure if it was God calling him. He's like, maybe it's God, which kind of reminded me of like when you get a phone call from someone and you don't have their number saved in your phone. You know what I'm talking about? And then on the phone screen, it says maybe. Like if Leslie Cook called me and she calls me and it says maybe Leslie Cook, but I already have, that wouldn't work because we'll use Scott. I don't have Scott's number saved in my phone. So Scott calls me. It says maybe Scott Sullivan. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, sorry, Scott. Samuel doesn't have God's number saved. So God's calling him, and it may be God. TBD, right? By the way, I know my phone, do Androids have that function too? Oh. Androids are more dumb. I'm just saying. I don't know if that's true. First service thought they did have it, so maybe first service is dumb. I don't know. So Samuel is a boy. He's 12 years old, and he has this moment where he hasn't saved God's number in his phone, and we're just going to get into this. Verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. I'll pause on this because I really just thought this sentence was interesting. The word of the Lord was rare. Now, there is quite a bit of backstory to this. It was rare because people were treating God as common. You know, Eli, he was the judge of God's people, meaning he was the spiritual authority at the time of God's people, and he was actually a wicked man. He was letting his sons do deplorable, disgusting things in the presence of the Lord, and And as a result, they and thus the whole culture around them treated the Lord as common. They just weren't really trying to revere the Lord or fear the Lord or honor the Lord in any way. And when we make God common as if he's not special, his words have little to no impact on us anymore, do they? It's like God's word becomes rare because we quit listening. And so we live in a day and an age where I know that there is so much information coming at us. There is so much content coming at us. But in the midst of everything that we're hearing, that we're receiving, it is very difficult to discern what is true and what is not. It's hard to find the truth. Would you agree? Like, we want to know the truth, but we have so much coming at us. And so when we even are trying to make decisions about our life, we're trying to determine what's the best path for us. We have all these influences coming at us, self-help guides, all these things that we compare ourselves to. We line them up, and perhaps, maybe we say, "And God, what do you think?" And when we do that and we put God in line with everything else, we make him common, and we wonder why God's word is rare in our life. And we wonder why it's hard to hear him, and it's hard to get clarity, if you will. We wonder these things. But if we are after the revealed will of God in our life, then there has to be a different sort of listening that we tap into. You know, when I first started thinking about the idea of discovering God's will many years ago, when I was a younger person, I was just thinking about how do I discover God's will? And then when I started talking about it, I would tell people, and I thought this was right. I would think, well, you know, every person has a calling on their life, and you just have to go find it. And so just ask God for it, and he'll reveal it to you, and then you got to just go and live into it and do it. And that's a very, honestly, that's an immature understanding of God's call on anybody's life, because we treat that as if it's like, it's a big game of hide and seek. Like, there's out there, it's hiding. We got to go find our calling. And some people are lucky enough to just find it and discover it, and some people just aren't. They're out of luck. And so some people are really discouraged by this because they're like, hey, you know, I've been looking for my calling, but I don't know what to do. And I've been looking, but I feel lost. And some of us are like, you're talking about calling once again, bro. I mean, I'm just trying to make it through another month. I'm just trying to make my bills. And so people are like, how much does this really matter? And this is actually my point today because I have many, many points for you. Over the years, I've realized that calling isn't just about one thing. It's not one thing we get called to. For example, we don't get the calling one day and then all of a sudden our life is figured out. And I don't know, most of us probably resonate with that. But for example, a lot of people say, oh yeah, Tim's called to preach the word. And you know what? Like, sure, I sometimes enjoy this, and not always, but I do have a passion for it. And perhaps God has called me to it, but I don't think God has just called me to this one thing, because there are many, many days, there are more days than not in which this calling does not apply to my day. Right? Like, imagine if I was like, I'm called to preach to God's word. And so I go home and I walk in the door and my kids are there and I say, hey guys, look at your neighbor and tell him praise the Lord. You know, what if I was like, you know, hey, the movie's over. And I say, hey, the movie's ending. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. Like, there are spaces, right, that my calling doesn't apply, because maybe that's not the only thing I'm called to. Maybe there are callings in my life. For example, I'm called to be a father with, of course, certain ways and passions and behaviors that I do that. I'm called to be a husband, and we all know that I should never preach to my wife, right? I'm called to be a friend and a neighbor, and I'm called at so many different ways and to things in my life, and I have to grow into all these callings. In order to do that, I cannot treat God as common. I need the word of the Lord to be all the time in my life. Otherwise, the word of the Lord is rare. And when God's word is rare, so will be your peace. Because that was verse 1. Let's get to verse 2. We got 11 verses. We got a long ways to go. I'm just kidding. We are reading 11 verses. Let's get moving. Here we go. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that they could barely see, he was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, meaning he was not dead yet, but he's getting close. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And again, this has a little to do with where we're going today, but I had to pause on it again because this is so interesting, right? The Ark of God was the Ark of the Covenant, which at the time, this was the presence of God with his people. It was literally a holy piece of furniture that they would carry around, and it would be the presence of God with them. The Ten Commandments were in this thing, and anybody got near it, it was like a dangerous, I mean, God's presence was so powerful that people get near the Ark of the Covenant without God's permission, they would fall over dead. Like, this Ark was holy and powerful, and it's in this house. Which I just think is a crazy, I'm reading this story going, wow. Samuel is in there lying down with the presence of God, and then God hit me something. He was like, you know what? The Ark of the Covenant before Jesus was God's presence and his promise. It's the covenant promise for his people that he will redeem them and never leave them. Yeah. And I thought, oh, that's cool. And God's like, and that same promise is with you now. And I'm like, through Jesus, what was in that room is in our lives. And so I'm sitting here reading this going, wow, the Ark of the Covenant was in that room. And I'm like, no, the Ark of the Covenant is in this room right now, in us, the who are in Christ, the presence and the covenant promise to redeem and to never leave. So powerful. Verse 4, then the Lord called Samuel. Everyone say, the Lord called. And you say it like I say it, the Lord called. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli. Is that weird? The Lord called, and he said, here I am, and he ran to Eli. Here I am, he called, but Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. He's like, what are you doing waking me up in the middle of the night, boy? Go back to sleep. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went, and Eli said, here I am, you called me. He's like, no, I didn't call you. I mean, this is strange. You would think Samuel would get it. Like, he's like, this voice should sound like God, right? Like, should shake the house. It should be so loud. It's like, Samuel, you know, but it's not that moment. But for some reason, the voice of God sounded familiar to Samuel. He said, my son Eli, I did not call. Go and lie back down. He's like, what is wrong with you? You got in some bad dreams? You need some melatonin? What's going on? Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. In other words, he had not saved God's phone number in his phone. A third time, the Lord called, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. I mean, Samuel's got to be thinking, he is messing with me. This Eli guy, he is wicked. But even though Eli was wicked, he did have a few moments, and this is one of them. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, hey, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. Which I like that. God, make them ears tingle, right? It reminds me of what the prophet Habakkuk says when he says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. Which is a revival prayer for us. God, utterly amaze us. God's calling on Samuel's life would, of course, become important, historically speaking. Samuel would become the bridge between what was the age of the judges and the nation of Israel's kingdoms. His call was very specific, right? But notice what Samuel said in verse 10, which I think is really important for us to take today. He says, speak, for your servant is listening. Samuel had to discern God's voice in order to carry out his calling. Your servant is listening. One more time, look at your neighbor and say, listen to this. Listen to this. We ask a lot of God and listen very little to God. We ask more than we listen. That is an obvious truth. So many people think that the will of God is about decision-making, As if there's this nearly impossible task when we come up against a hard choice, like which way should I go? What should I do with my life? What should I do with this problem? What should I do with this relationship? Whatever it is, we think, man, I need to listen for clarity from God in order to make the right decision, because if I make the wrong decision, things will go terribly wrong and I could end up down in a pit because I made the wrong choice. Should I quit my job? Then this is a big power-packed decision. God, what should I do? Tell me yes or no. Do I move to Hawaii or stay in Oklahoma City? This is a hard decision, God. God's will is always Oklahoma City, guys. Thus saith the Lord. It's in the Bible. You can find it. Should I marry that girl or wait for a better one? Listen, if you're asking that question, you already know. Right? When should we have kids? How many kids should we have? The Bible says be fruitful and multiply. There are some things that God speaks about. So we start praying for clarity, but we struggle to discern God's voice. And things like FOMO and FOBO come up in our life. FOMO, of course, is the fear of missing out. And so that can cloud our decision making because we just don't want to miss out on what everybody else is doing. But the greater power in decision paralysis is the latter one. It's FOBO, F-O-B-O, fear of better options. I taught this a few years ago. FOBO wonders, what if something better comes along? Your servant is listening isn't easy for most of us because we get stuck in the quicksand of FOMO and FOBO all the time. I want to show you something. We'll throw it on screen here. Knowing God's will and his calling in your life. And some of you are like, I already know his will. I already know my calling. Well, this is what so many of us still do to this day, even if we think we know what we're doing, is we see life as this endless linear process of making decisions and having these crossroads points in our life. And you can see in this, there's actually several different destinations you can end up at. And you are the star on this. Are you guys happy about that? Say, I'm the star. Guys, we're going to humble ourselves today. I'm just kidding. No, so you're the star, and you're trying to get over here to this other star that is God's will for your life. And so what we think is that we have to make the right decision at every turn in order to get there. And if we make the wrong turn, we may end up way down here instead of way up there. And so this is what we pray, God, give me clarity. And he starts to give his will. You can go ahead and go to the next slide. And he's like, lead us through life, right, God? Get us to the point. And every destination point is like, God, get me there so I get to the right point. And we think, man, what if I make a wrong decision, I'm going to end up down here in the pit, right? And I'm going to miss out on what God had for me. And this is why so many people have these regrets about life. And they say things like, man, I think I missed God's call in my life. Or maybe I married the wrong person. Or maybe I went to the wrong school. Or maybe I took the wrong job. And we live in regret because we think God's will is some linear process getting us to some destination that we imagine to be in the future. But I'm trying to tell you something today that this is actually very critical, even for a mature believer to finally get. God is less of a traffic cop in your life telling you what to do and where to go. And he is always more of a sculptor about the person you are becoming. God is more concerned about who you are than what you do or where you go. And why is this so important? Because it is not the decisions that you make that will send you off the rails. That is not it. You can make the decision to quit the job or keep the job. But what will get you off the rails is the decisions around sin. Committing sin and disobedience and the sin of omission, those are the things that are outside of God's will. That's out of God's will. You know what's in God's will? The idea that you are created to be a creator with God, that you have the freedom to choose so many things in life, and he just wants to make sure that your heart is shaped and molded by him, that you will honor him through all the things you do. You may know this, but do you live it? What I'm trying to say is I can be a pastor or I can be a CEO of a Fortune 100 company. It doesn't matter what I do. It just matters who I am. I've been meaning to find an opportunity to tell you that I'm praying about a job right now. You guys laugh. In fact, you can take out your Bible. And you could circle every verse that you find that says the words God's will in it or something like that. And you're going to find that almost every one of them is less about the decisions or the things that you do. And it's always about the person that you are. Romans 12:1-2, one of the king of all verses when it comes to this sort of thing. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves, your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. He's saying you want to know if you're in God's will, you want to understand God's will. Well, it starts with this. First, just give yourself over to the Lord. Like, quit trying to be like everybody else. Quit trying to take on the cookie cutter mold of what the rest of the world does. Let that go behind you and be transformed in the renewing of your mind to take on God's way of thinking. And when you do that, then you will know God's will all the time. What? You mean I'll have clarity? He didn't say clarity. He just said, you will be in the center of what it means to walk with God through life. It says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 7. He says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's it. Live that. You're going to find peace. If you're doing that, you can lay your head on your pillow every night, no matter what you do or where you live, and be living at the center of God's will. That is called inner peace, that you can have peace derived from a person of who you are rather than what you do. Other scriptures speak to this over and over. It's about the qualities of our heart. Our kindness, our generosity, our patience, the way we encourage, the way that we impact the world through our love. And I know it's super easy to say this in church and be all simple about it. It's about who you are, not what you do. And I get all that. But you're sitting here going, but should I quit my job? Seriously, Tim. Like, what do I do? Option A, B, or C? Door A, B, or C. That's all I need to know today, and then I'm golden. You know what I've experienced throughout life is when I pray for specific guidance about things in my life, like what should I do in the next chapter of my life, or what's the big call that God's put on me? Anytime I've prayed for any of these sorts of things, I'm praying about something specific, and then God starts to be speaking about all these sorts of other things. I don't know if you've ever encountered this. You're like, hey, God, what do I need to do for the future? And he's like, hey, will you love your wife better? Will you pray with her? Will you encourage them? Will you be generous with your money? Will you give away your love? And it's like all these things that God begins to speak are about who I am on the daily and in my life with the people around me. And I'm saying, but yeah, God, I need to know about this thing. And he's speaking, but I'm wanting him to speak about something else. And so every time I'm concerned with the thing that I want him to speak about, I miss what he is actually saying. And maybe that's why God's word is so rare in our life, because we don't even know how to say, here I am. Your servant is listening. We aren't even listening. My calling is found in my peace. You're like, what does that mean? It means your calling is found in your peace. I think it's so on brand that God calls Samuel and Samuel runs to Eli. Isn't that so typical? God calls and then we run to something else. It, probably because he didn't know it was God, right? Like, God calls, and this happens so much because God doesn't call like in the simplest ways. God's not like, you know, he's not telling you to get up and go do a specific thing. Often he calls us through conviction, right? And so maybe we'll have a conviction about a problem that the world is facing, or that our family is facing, or that, who knows, maybe your church is facing, or your work is facing. You'll be convicted about this problem. And God's like, I'm calling you to step into that and to trust me and to give yourself to it, because I'm going to use you to fix that problem. But we don't show up and say, God's called me to this problem. We show up, and you know what we say? Here I am, worry. And we start worrying about the problem. You know why? Because we're way more familiar with worry. We know the sound of worry. Here I am, worry. And we start worrying about it, and it starts dragging us down. And God's like, I didn't call you to worry. I called you to be a light in the darkness, to be a source of peace in that problem. Or perhaps it's maybe it's not a problem. Maybe it's like you get a conviction of like discontent in your spirit. You're like, man, things can be better. Things can be better. I know we can do something that would change the world, or that would change my city, or that would change my neighborhood, or that would change my kid's school, or that would change my work. And we get discontent, but then that's the call, is like we've been discontented and God's wanting to raise us up into leadership. God's wanting to raise us up into a conviction to go take flight in life. And what happens is we don't allow that discontent to really transition into a calling, and we find discouragement instead, and we're discouraged about it. And we're like, man, I don't think I can do anything about that. And so we say, here I am, discouragement. God calls, and then we run to the wrong thing. This is because so many of us, we really have a hard time saying, speak, your servant is listening. We ask a lot of God, but listen little to him. Today, God wants to help us. He wants to help you. He wants to give you peace. He wants to grant you something more than you have right now. Like, he wants you to give purpose in your life. This isn't just a feel-good message. This is like, hopefully, transformational type message. Because for me, this has been transformational type stuff. It has been one of those things that I constantly found myself worrying about the things that I do. I found myself constantly worrying, like if I was doing everything right in God's eyes. And God set me free of that to say, you know what? That's not what it's about. It's about something different. It's about, will you sit with me? Will you rest with me? Will you get with me in a way that you can be quiet and listen and hear me just speak about who you are, what I see in you, and craft and shape you into the person I've created you to be. And most of us don't give ourselves the time and space to do such a thing. Peace is found in who, not what. You know, Christy and I spent some time, again, talking about all of this week, because we've had these moments, just like you have, over the course of our life together, that we're praying about the future, praying about a decision, praying about something we're going through, and we're needing God's direction. And we were just talking about some of those instances this week. I was like, what has God really taught us in these seasons? What has he really taught us? And we were talking about when Christy had breast cancer a few years ago, and we were presented all these options for her treatment. And that's a stressful thing, right? That's a scary thing. And you're like, we got to make the right decision for your treatment, because we want to see you healthy and whole and all those sort of things. But we found ourselves just being drawn into spending time with the Lord, abiding with him, and just sitting in God's presence. And it was in that season where we just really didn't even find ourselves praying about what's right. It was just like, God, we want to trust you. We believe you are the healer. And out of that surrender, out of that, if you will, prayer, God gave us a peace, and it was from that peace that we found his path. We remember the season before we started this church. How many know that's no small decision to start a church, right? Like, hey, God, let's create something that'll be, you know, potentially dangerous for lots of people and mess a lot of people up, including myself. Maybe you don't get that, but that's the life of a pastor. But I'll say that calling came out of a season not where we were asking God, hey, God, should we plant a church? But it came out of a discontent in which we felt like God had convicted us for certain things that we weren't seeing in the church. And so we sat with him and we said, God, we don't know what we're supposed to do, but we're just going to sit with you. And we prayed every night for 1 year together. We would spend time every night together, and we'd pray and we'd sit, and we just connected with the Father, gave him space to speak. And out of that came a calling. We found peace before we found our calling. And why I'm trying to say this is, it wasn't God's call that gave us peace. It was peace that led us to his call. Are y'all with me today? And I don't know if this is sticking or not, but I hope it is. We got to seek God more than we seek his answers. I probably should have just started with that. Seek God more than you seek his answers. Samuel went and he laid down, and when the Lord spoke, he said, here I am, speak, for your servant is listening. You see, God's will is for us to abide in him. Just speak, God. I'll make the time to listen. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you will do nothing. A little paraphrase of that is like Jesus is like, listen, I'm the source of life. I'm the vine. You are the livers of life. You are the branches. when you abide with me, when you sit with me, when you stay with me, when you remain in me, you're not only going to have a full life, but you're going to do lots of really good things. You're going to bear a lot of spiritual fruit. But apart from me, when you don't abide with me, when you don't spend time with me, when you don't listen to me, you're not going to do anything. You're going to lack peace. You're going to lack direction. And we think it's clarity that will give us the peace we want. But it's not clarity. It's God. It's God resting in him that will give us the peace we need. It's sitting and listening and creating space to grow a relationship with God. We think God is a playbook. He is not a playbook. He is not a resource guide to your carefully planned life. He is a relationship. I wholeheartedly believe God does call many of us, all of us, to big and beautiful and amazing things. This isn't like saying, I don't think what we're called to matters. It matters a whole bunch, but it will come in a different way than a lot of us think. We are called to significant and purposeful thing. He will shape who you are in order to do great things through you. It is time, though, for some of us, right? We do want our dreams to take flight, but it is time. Instead of rushing into a calling, is to get our calling through rest. So we got to rest into a calling. Let your calling come from sitting rather than striving. Let your calling come from peace rather than pressure. Here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening. And I just thought, man, what a great prayer for us to sit in today, to pray today, to mean today. And so I'm just going to lead us in that. I'm going to lead us in a moment which we get to say, here I am, Lord, your servant is listening. If you just bow your heads, close your eyes. And I'll say this as we get into it. If you wouldn't identify yourself as his servant, that's okay. You can still say, here I am, Lord. I'm listening. Maybe you're exploring God. Maybe you're questioning God. Maybe you're trying to figure things out with the Lord. I'm so glad you're here. And I know a part of what it means for you today to figure out life is to figure out peace. And so you can pray, here I am. Speak, Lord. I'm listening. So everybody in the room, would you just pray that prayer in your own words? Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening. Here I am, Lord. Speak. I'm listening. Just pray that to him. Say that to him right now. We want to open our ears up to him. Maybe he's convicting you. He's convicting you. His Holy Spirit's coming near to you, drawing you to himself. Maybe he's reminding you of the things he has said about you, called you to. Maybe he's stirring you. Here I am. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Lord, we rest in you. We settle into your peace. We slow down into your pace, God. We trust in your ways. I just want to pray a prayer of peace over you right now. May all the anxieties, all the struggles, all the problems, all the things that you wrestle with right now, may you just surrender that to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with those things. And Lord, as we trust you, we pray your peace into this place. We pray that covenant promise that's here, that's in the room, that Father, it would translate into the peace of God in us. And that we know that your peace is what will stir and will do the things within us to do everything, it says, your word says, everything that we need, all things that are good in order to do your will. And so, Father, I pray peace. Peace for the person that's hurting, peace for the person that is struggling, peace for the person that is anxious, peace for the person that is angry, peace for the person that is confused, peace for the person that is searching right now. I pray peace over the person that is just so frustrated because they can't get where they want to get right now. And Father, I just pray peace that, Lord, we would quit trying to make it. We would quit trying to run it. That, Lord, we step back and we would let you bring us peace in order to find our next calling. Lord, I pray peace. servants are listening. We're going to respond with worship. It's going to be the way we respond today. And as we worship, it's a prayer as well. A prayer of adoration and love and hope. And it's a prayer of just continuing to say, Lord, would you continue to speak to me about who I am, how you've called me, how you've shaped me? Lord, we pray that as we just spend some time responding and singing to you, that Father, your Holy Spirit would move in this place. That Father, that those who need to just cry out to you, that they would cry out. Those who need healing, that they would ask for healing. Those who need help, that they would ask for help. That those who just want to surrender to you today and follow you today, that they would do that. God, we give you these next few minutes to just continue to do what only you can do. We pray this in your name. Would you stand with us? As we stand, we're going to start singing about the promise of God to never leave us. He's always with us. And as you come, this altar's open, our prayer.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. If there's anything we can pray with you about, or if you have questions about God, we'd love to talk with you. Please visit our contact page at okccommunitychurch.com.